the most important meal of the day, second breakfast.
Hi, everybody. Welcome back to another Second Breakfast podcast. I'm Andy Roth alongside Phil Duvall. Say hi, Phil.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Second Breakfast. This is why I can't do it. This is why you run the show, and I know. Booga, booga, booga. All right, I don't have it. Hi, everybody. Excited to be with you all. And let's do a show. Let's talk. You know why? Because today is Friday. And you know what Friday is, Andy?
Mailbag day, baby.
Mailbag. Let's do it.
What is it?
Mailbag.
Oh, okay. Right. Gotcha. I'm with you.
I almost did it again. That would have been great. All right.
This is clearly a new definition of great that I wasn't previously aware of, but okay.
We keep lowering the standards until we finally meet them.
That's right. That's right.
Lowered expectations.
One of my favorite sketches of all time.
Never actually seen it, but my wife loves it, and she always says that. Like, whenever we talk about something, generally when it comes to me, actually, she always says it. Is that a coincidence?
Well, you can never disappoint her. You know?
Yet I find new ways.
yet, don't we all? Don't we all? Alrighty. Two questions today. Fantastic questions. Very different questions. I'm looking forward to answering them. First one comes from good friend of the podcast, Andrew. Hello, Andrew.
Hi, Andrew.
What film or films do you think strike the best balance between complexity and accessibility? In other words, what films do the best job of being both high art to film nerds and crowd pleasers for the movie-going public at large?
Fantastic question.
It is a good question.
Why don't you get us rolling? I have one movie. I have a couple of ideas, by the way, but I have one movie just tucked away as my trump card. Shablammy.
Okay. So in speaking to Andrew, I know what his answer is, what his answer would be to this question. I'm going to tell you what it is because, A, it wasn't necessarily – like all of these questions with me over the past couple of weeks, I interpreted it slightly differently. His answer – was Old Boy, which is a Korean movie. Have you seen it, Phil?
Whose answer was this?
Andrew. Andrew. I was talking to Andrew.
Oh, his own answer to his own question.
Yes.
Was a foreign film with subtitles.
Yes. Don't give me that. It is. No.
I don't care. No, it could be great. It doesn't matter. But go ahead. I don't understand you people. You and Andrew. I don't understand.
Really, you are just the worst.
I'm gonna quote an art house movie, Miller's Crossing. Yes, fancy pants, the lot of you. That's what it is. Yes, fancy pants. Your idea of an accessible movie is one where I have to read subtitles and it's in Korean? Come on!
Okay.
Go ahead. Now say your stupid answer. I'm listening.
I hate you so much. There's no, like, they don't have the scene in Annie Hall where he tells, I love you, I love like, you.
I hate you.
I hate you.
Flames.
I hate you.
Flames of the side of my face. Heaving.
So, while it is compulsively watchable, regardless of what you think, it is compulsively watchable. It's not necessarily a crowd pleaser, because that is one messed up movie. But... okay. That sort of got me in the right mood because I was like, because I was thinking just purely like crowd pleasing movies. So my first answer is Pan's Labyrinth.
Okay.
Which is another one you have to read subtitles for. But
that's true. I forgot about that. It's a good movie though.
But it is clearly and inarguably just an incredible artistic achievement. And it is, like, when you turn it on, I feel like it's impossible to stop watching it.
It's legit.
Yeah. I have others, but we can go back and forth.
It's still a bad choice, but...
I hate you.
So wait, so Andrew Blumberg... No, I actually love that movie. Andrew Blumberg, who asked the question...
Yes.
Answered with his own question. Answered his question with Old Boy. That's what I'm saying?
Yeah. I don't know why you're finding this so difficult to...
Well, let me read it. Let me read the question again. What films do the best job of being both high art to film nerds and crowd pleasers for the movie-going public at large? If it is a foreign film, it will not be a crowd pleasing movie to the crowd pleaser for the movie going public at large.
Only
that's my only.
About, only if we're talking about America.
Yeah, exactly. We are talking about America. This is Second Breakfast. No, that is what we're talking about. Like we're not talking about Korea because Korea's got a much larger film going population than us. That's what I mean. That just clearly.
That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying the movie going public across the world
quite often watches our movies dubbed. Quite often watches them dubbed.
Fair.
We have a much higher literacy rate than a lot of the countries that love our movies, and I'm not saying that at all in like a freaking. That's not even remotely mean or like mean spirited or condescending to other nations.
They dub them to you. No, I'm agreeing.
You should. Okay, here's the.
I know
here's,
I should, and that's a
here's
mark
the Trump
the
answer.
Person I am.
Here's yes. the Trump answer.
Yes.
Ready?
Tell me.
The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight.
Nice.
The Dark Knight is the fourth highest grossing film of all time.
Sure.
Fourth? Anyways, The Dark Knight is in the top. It is now the fourth. It is the fourth highest grossing film of all time. In America, it made, in America alone, not in all these other countries, it made $534.8 million. $1 million. Mm. It was widely expected to be nominated for an Academy Award for Best Film, which it did not get, I believe, but was expected to be. It was made tons of top 10 lists. Everybody saw it as an amazing artistic achievement. The performances were phenomenal, and it was a huge freaking hit. Let me give you another answer. Oh, wait, go ahead.
Okay. Well, no,
go ahead.
I don't disagree with your choice. It didn't make it, but I don't know that I accept your definition of crowd pleasing as made a lot of money. That certainly. Let me say this. Let me say it a different way. That is evidence that it is crowd pleasing, but I'm not going to restrict crowd pleasing only to those movies that made a lot of money.
Okay, but it's a phenomenal way to judge.
I kind of disagree with you. Go ahead.
Okay, I mean, but like this is look. I'm not saying it's a better movie than other things. Like
I know
we're talking about the things that walk the line. Because look, I can tell you like Searching for Bobby Fischer is like a total crowd pleaser to the movie going public at large. Except nobody saw it, so I have to convince people that. Well, not nobody, but I mean, I have to convince people now. It's not
right,
a movie that's lasting.
When they watch it, they love it because it's a crowd pleaser. That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
I mean, I hear you, but I think I want to list movies that I want to think about movies that actually. Made it like made a bit. I guess to me, so my answer to this question are movies that like. So, for instance, another one, Jaws,
on my list as well. Absolutely.
I mean that is the first. That is that. That's even the only reason Dark Knight I mentioned first is because it's more recent and it made a lot more money.
Right.
But Jaws was, I believe, the first movie to break the $100 million mark. It was the movie that created the term blockbuster, created the summer action movies single handedly,
yes.
And yet is widely considered one of the greatest movies in American history.
Yes.
Can I
go off of that? I completely agree.
Do.
I would say from 1977 to 1982, just Steven Spielberg. He had a dozen.
I almost said that. E.T., Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Close Encounters of the Third
Kind. Yes. No, I almost said Steven's yeah. the answer to the question is just Steven Spielberg.
That's right.
I mean,
that's right.
He messes up a lot, but he's the guy that critics, when they love him.
Yes.
He's a film school nerd
who
has no problem referencing old, like, he references old stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I almost said Star Wars as well, the very first Star Wars, or Empire, because now film nerds all say Empire's the best, and that's fine. But, like, and obviously those have just made just a ton of cash, and everybody loves watching
them. Yeah, I can't dispute that. I thought about them as well, and I'm not quite sure why for both of us it ended up in the I almost said it, but it did. It ended up there for me as well. This is kind of low hanging fruit, but Pixar.
You know? Toy Story 3 made $415 million, the 12th highest grossing film of all time, and was nominated for an Academy Award for Best Film. Now, again, high grosses don't necessarily mean that they're box office pleasers somehow. Let me rephrase and not be a jerk. I apologize. I'm going to start all over again. High grossing film is not the only definition we go by. Just like getting nominated for an Academy Award is certainly not the only definition we go by for for artsy fartsy fancy pantsies like you and Andrew Blumberg. But
I hate you.
But this movie is a perfect example of that mixture. And I would go with basically, I mean, you could just do a lot of Disney movies, a lot of Disney cartoons specifically. I mean, yeah. Snow White.
Yes.
Pinocchio.
A non
Beast.
Yes. A non Disney, non Pixar cartoon from the past 20 years. I don't remember exactly when it came out. The Iron Giant.
Yes. Yes. Although, again, I have to remind people to see it, but I understand what you're saying.
I don't know how much money it made, but I literally know no one who has seen it who
anything but loved it.
Exactly. Exactly. So
anything but loved it.
three more movies for you. All the same director. Mr. You may have heard of him. Alfred Hitchcock.
Yes. He's the originator of this genre.
Yes.
To me.
Three movies.
Well, no. Him and... Okay, go ahead. Yes.
North by Northwest. Notorious. And Shadow of a Doubt. Those are three completely and totally satisfying movie-going experiences or movie-watching experiences. And they are...
What was the first one you said? Notorious?
North by Northwest, Notorious, and Shadow of a Doubt.
Yeah, I'm totally with you. Totally with you. Yeah. Except that I don't know how you didn't mention Psycho or Rear Window. Not, like, because those two... Like, because Psycho is, to me, like... Psycho is, like, the crystallization of an art house film that is designed to please audiences. Or to be a crowd pleaser. Like, it is artsy fartsy because every single shot is artistic. Like, every single shot is. But I mean, none of that is to disagree with you. You are right on with the movies.
Well,
you
I thought about Psycho. I thought about Psycho, and I thought about Rear Window as well. And yeah. Rear Window is closer for me, and it's just because. And I'm not disagreeing. I couldn't disagree with you if you put Psycho on the list, right?
Right.
But
right.
I just like. Like at the end of it, you're like, oh, you know, it's
sure, right? Sure. But I mean, at the end of Dark Knight, you know, it's like Dark Knight happens.
You're right. You're right.
Oh, you know, Jurassic Park, which is like Spielberg harkening back to the 70s, by the way, I just want to say that. It's true. Right. Jurassic Park.
But like at the end of North by Northwest, you're like, if Cary Grant can do it, I can totally be that suave and pretend I'm a
now you are, now you, you know, I'm with you. Now, what you're getting into is actually something that I wanted to talk about in this question, which is not naming a movie.
Okay.
And we talked. I've been talking about this genre a lot lately.
Mm.
I think the best the genre that has the best chance of being both crowd pleasing and what's the other thing?
Artistically successful.
Artistically successful.
Yeah.
Is the suspense genre.
I like it.
Because a good suspense, if it's not good. Like, if it's not suspenseful, it's not good.
That's true. That's true.
But if it is suspenseful, people are like, what's going to happen?
Yes.
And that's all the genre really expects of you. And so art, like, but being able to keep people in suspense, artsy people love that. Because it's not horror.
Yeah.
And it's not, and so therefore, it's got to, it's like, it would fall even under the drama category almost also. If you had to just go, you know, action, drama, comedy.
Mm-hmm.
Then the only like then really suspense falls under the drama category usually not action. It's generally not action-y.
Right.
And it's generally not, you know, I think a guy that really is fitting into this category right now for us is Christopher Nolan.
Mm-hmm.
I think another one that's really fitting into this category is David Fincher.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was surprised that Girl with a Dragon Tattoo didn't make as much money as it did, although it's pretty brutal, but I think he's making fairly mainstream movies that those people love. Obviously we can't have this conversation. I mean, Django Unchained.
It's true.
And Glorious Bastards was, these movies, people who aren't artsy fartsy go and see Tarantino movies.
Right.
But and then artsy fartsy people go, I can't.
Right.
Well, and artsy fartsy people just go like, he did it again.
Right.
He did it again. You know. Yes. So
I will say this about Tarantino. Although I think every one of his movies could be an answer to this question, I think, and I think it's really, the revenge film has sort of become the genre in which he's worked the past few films. Right.
Past 10 years.
And I think. I mean, his best movie might still be Pulp Fiction, right?
I know.
But I would say Kill Bill, Volume 1 and 2, Inglourious Basterds, and Django Unchained are better answers to this question.
Agreed.
You know?
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree.
And I think that's so well said. Well, I really do. I like that, you know.
Like the suspense creates, it's a genre that if.
Yeah.
Because a comedy can be successful, mm-hmm. and artsy people still can't. Like for some reason, there's this disconnect, which bothers me tremendously.
Right.
But like a good slapstick movie. You know what I mean? Like just ridiculous. Like Wet Hot American Summer should be a movie with 4 stars and people should be giving it thousands of thumbs up.
Yes. Also, the kind of comedy that is respected usually artistically to the point of being called, as he puts in his question, high art.
Yeah.
Things like Woody Allen.
Yeah. While never get a lot of money.
Never make a lot of money. Crowd pleasing, however you define crowd pleasing, I love them. You love them. The ones that you love, the ones that I love. But it's hard for me to call it crowd pleasing. I love Hannah and Her Sisters. It's hard for me to call it a crowd pleaser.
Oh yeah,
you know.
Woo!
Right.
Close. Well, maybe Bananas. Maybe the first couple movies he made.
Bananas. Sleeper. Yeah. That's totally fair.
Andrew Blumberg, we've answered your question better than you did. So that's why you asked us, and that's why you don't have a podcast about movies that nobody pays for. So, you know, that's why we're rolling.
Woo! Look at us. Okay. Shall we move on?
That's why I'm 100-er. No. Yeah. No? Okay.
All right, I'll give it to you. Really nice with the suspense genre. That's a really good call.
Thanks.
That's a really good call. Next question. Final question.
Our
friend... For now, whose name is Alex, and I'll say, okay. Alex writes, on Second Breakfast Podcast, I will henceforth be known as Dr. Awesome.
Wow.
Look, can I just nip something in the bud? We're not going to rename all you people, all right?
Yeah.
Alex gets it, Dr. Awesome gets it, but we're not doing that. You know, we're not going to do it.
This is not any cool news. We don't just get, everybody doesn't just, also Dr. Awesome. I'll call you that, but here's the deal. We're going to call you Dr. Awesome because we want to.
It's true.
Not because you want us to. nobody gives themselves a nickname. A little class. Just a little class is all. We don't even ask, trust us. Do we look like people who ask for a lot of class? Just a little class.
A skosh, if you will.
I mean, literally. A skosh would be fine.
as Robert Guillaume in Sports Night said, you don't think I'd like to be called... You can't give yourself a nickname. You don't think I'd like to be called the Hammer? I would. You know why I can't be? Because it's already taken. It's already taken. And you can't give yourself a nickname. You can't give yourself a nickname. So.
It's awesome. Dr.
Awesome writes. Now, on to my question. There is going to be a Bill and Ted's 3.
Yes.
It is happening. Mm-hmm. Talk to me about why this is the best thing ever. No negative responses will be tolerated. That is all, Dr. Awesome. Now.
Oh, really, my God.
I really like what you just said, Phil, because like we're going to call him Dr. Awesome because we want to, not because he asked us to.
Right. Whose show does he think this is?
Right? Right? Having said that, I'm going to go out on a limb and say... No negative responses will be coming your way. Not because you asked, but because it's the truth.
I have nothing negative to say.
Zero.
Picture this. The year is 1989.
Mm-hmm.
A picture comes into the theaters called Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. A young Philip Duvall rides his little bicycle, his BMX, over to his friend Scott's house. And then they ride to the movie theater. And they go see a picture called Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure. Let me tell you something. This is the first movie, ready? The first movie ever went to see in the theaters twice.
I love that. I love that.
I can't, that's what Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure means to me.
So I think I may have seen it more than once in the theater as well. But I just thought it was a really funny movie, right? And then I saw it a few years later. You know when I saw it? I saw it right before, I rented it right before Bill and Ted's Bogus Journey came out. Because I wanted to refresh my memory. Because of the extraordinary Bill and Ted's canon that is out there. I wanted to make sure they were continuing the everything appropriately. And even though it wasn't, Bogus Journey didn't come out like a decade after Excellent Adventure.
Almost. It came out 2 years later. It came out in 1991.
Okay. So even in those 2 years, I had sort of grown into my perception of movies and my analysis of movies to the point where I was like, this is still a ridiculously funny movie, but there's also something else going on here. And then I saw Bogus Journey, and the two of the movies combined blew the top of my head off. They are superb. They are superb. If you think that they are about two stoner, they're just about two stoners, like, oh, it's so awesome, gnarly, you either haven't seen them or you're a baby boomer.
Thank you.
See what I did there?
I love you.
I know.
You may hate me and I may be the worst person you know, but I love you and you are the best person I know. You, to quote Jack Nicholson, you make me want to be a better person.
That's very sweet.
Yes, I you know, confession time, I didn't like Bogus Journey when it came out very much because it went really dark at a time when I wasn't ready for that yet.
Right. Yes.
I bet you money if it had come out 3 years later, I would have been okay with it.
Sure.
But I haven't seen it in a very long time. I would love to see it again. I would love to see it again.
Yeah.
But Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure, it's one of those movies where you're like, well, I hadn't seen it in a while and I saw it again and I was like, oh, wow. I haven't seen it in a while. It doesn't matter because I've seen it. It is one of those movies that was so definitive for me at that age that I could watch it right now and quote half the movie. Even though I haven't watched it since I was an adult almost. That movie was one of the first movies. It was, like I said, it was the first movie I ever saw in the theater twice. Like, I mean, it was the first movie that I, and then it, and when someone said, like, you know, I was like, I mean, I just, of course it was the same year Batman came out. That was the second movie I saw the same year. I was like, wait, you can see them twice now.
They're letting you do that?
Yeah, exactly. But I remember being in fourth grade. I can picture sitting in Mr. Bodie's class in fourth grade and like talking to someone about Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and how they needed to see it. And I was going to see it again. Like that. I remember, I have that vision. So
it really is. Those movies for me fall into the same sort of category as like the Goonies, where these are movies that are as good as, for example, The Princess Bride, which is ostensibly just a frothy little fantasy popcorn movie that is just so well done that there isn't anyone who doesn't love it, right?
Yes.
But, and for some reason, whether it's just exposure or what have you, the Bill and Ted's movies haven't taken that last step and the Goonies hasn't taken that last step. But all of those movies and the Bill and Ted's movies, they're just so good. Yes. They are so good.
I'd like to add a little bit of something, if I may.
Please do.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Is this? I always wanted them to make a remake. Like, now that John Hughes is dead, I don't want it. But I always liked the idea of making a Ferris Bueller's Day Off 20 years later.
Mm.
I loved the idea of that. I loved the idea of making. I love the idea of making a sequel to a movie much later on down the line. I'm not thinking off the top of my head of a super successful version of it, but I like the idea of it. Yeah, you probably have one in your head.
What? Well, the Before Sunrise,
right?
Before Sunset,
and I don't know those movies, so right. I believe you, but I don't know those movies.
Right.
So anyways, I think the what I love about this is not a movie that's a cash grab. Okay.
Right.
Like. There's no one. I mean, there are artsy. I'm sorry, nerdy. Like film geeks are like, oh, this would be great.
Right.
But it's not like the world is screaming for this to happen.
Right.
The people that want to see it made are Alex Winter and Keanu Reeves.
Yes.
They want to do it.
Yes.
They are the ones who want to do it, and they are the ones who are like, pushing to get this done.
Right.
And they have an affection for this material and a desire to see it happen. And that tells me it's going to be something special. Now, we have a couple other versions of this. We have Anchorman 2 coming out. And when you think about it, like, it's been almost 10 years since Anchorman. Actually, I think it's been 10 years since Anchorman.
Oh, my God. I know. We're so old.
I mean, well, old or not, like, it's just amazing how time flies, right?
Sure. Yeah, that's true.
Anchorman came out in 2004, so it's been 9 years.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
Another version, another thing that they're working on, but who knows if it'll ever happen, is Ghostbusters 3.
Right.
Again, there's potential for that, but to me, the most exciting of the three of those, even though I mean, Ghostbusters is a definitive film as well, not just for me, but for everything in the world.
Agreed.
I still think Bill and Ted's, whatever they decide to call it, radical endorsement. I don't know. it's not a thing. So, never mind. So, there's so many things I could call it. I'm really excited, and I really want it to happen. I mean, he said it is happening. Dr. Awesome said it's happening, so I guess it's happening.
It is. All signs point to it actually happening. What happens when I watch Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure and even Bogus Journey, although it goes some really dark places, I all of a sudden I am again the age when I first watched them.
Yes.
And yet the part of my brain that doesn't revert, the part of my brain that has now seen thousands of movies, still finds things to love. And so when I say I am looking forward to Bill and Ted's 3, I am looking forward to being 11 again and watching this movie. You know?
I hear you. I never want to be 11 again, but I hear you anyway. I don't look at my childhood fondly. It's just not a thing I do. No. I really don't. I think about like being a kid and I just picture balls of frustration. I just figure like a big ball in my stomach just going, argh. I didn't like being a kid. I was so ready to be a grown up. And I got to tell you something. It has totally paid off.
Good. I'm glad.
People are like, you know, I said to my niece once, I was like, you know, people always tell you like how great it is to be a kid and don't ever grow up. Stay a kid as long as you want. She's like, yeah. I was like, that's a load of crap. Being a kid is terrible. You have to go to bed when people tell you. Like, you have to do everything people tell you. You have to do homework for reasons you can't understand. And then when you don't understand it, it's not like anyone's there to help you with it. Sure. And then, like, everyone either hates you or likes you, but you have to see them the next day anyway. Like, in my life today, if someone doesn't like me, I just don't hang out with them.
It's true.
But if I don't like someone, I don't talk to them. When you're in school and you don't like someone, you have to spend every day with them for years.
Can I do something kind of weird? Can I tie it back? It's kind of the story of Bill and Ted, right? Not with children and adulthood, childhood and adulthood, but people who can't for whatever reason or don't see their potential and people who get to realize their potential.
I like it.
See what I did there?
I like it.
It doesn't work perfectly, but it works perfectly enough for me.
It's in your head.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it.
Yeah.
I think we're done with that.
Sounds good.
Thank you, Dr. Awesome. Yeah. Thank you, Andy.
Thank you, Phil Duvall. So that brings us to the end of our mailbag. Andrew, Dr. Awesome.
Dr. Awesome. I'll tell you what. I'll be the guy who just is on board with it 100%. All right, Dr. Awesome.
Fair enough. No. You're right. If we're going to do it, we got to go whole hog.
Can I tell you one other thing real quick?
Please do.
Do you know how I know Dr. Awesome?
How do you know?
I just started talking to him while I was in line at Star Tours one day. We were at Disneyland, and my wife and I were at Disneyland, and she went off to get some churros while we were in line for the new Star Tours. Like, they redid Star Tours, and he and his girlfriend, who is now his fiance, were in front of me, and I just started talking to them. And now we're friends.
I'm not going to say what that is because you hate the phrase, but that's adorable.
Oh, I know what you were going to say, and thank you for not saying it. Domo arigato, Mr. Rotho.
You are welcome.
Thank you.
So, Andrew, Dr. Awesome, thank you so much for submitting questions. If you want to submit questions to have your question answered on the air, because we do this every Friday, or just about every Friday.
How could you not?
Email us at secondbreakfastpodcast@gmail.com. I'm Andy Roth, and that's Phil Duvall, and we are Second Breakfast. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Right. The most important meal of the day, Second Breakfast.